Hi, I'm Brian Hart.
I'm Karen Holman.
And you're listening to
Cool Sheets.
In the coming half hour, you'll hear all about 10 things that we're currently enjoying and using in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
At the end of our 2 minutes, boom, time's up, and we go back and forth until we've shared 10 cool sheets with you.
Cool Sheets is all about fun, interesting, and or useful things to enhance your life.
We broadcast from our studios in Salem, Oregon on KMUZ Turner, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, or streaming online at kmuz.org every Sunday from 9 to 9:30 a.m.
Our website, coolsheets.cool, yes, that's coolsheets.cool, has info about all the cool sheets that we list every week if you want to find out more details about them.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Here we go with this week's Cool Sheets.
All right, welcome everybody. I am Brian Hart, and with me today we have a very special guest. We have Jacob here filling in for Karen. Jacob, welcome.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah, this is really fun. You have your own podcast based out of Salem. What's the name of that again, really quick?
New Leader Workshop.
New Leader Workshop. I have listened to quite a few episodes, and I really dig it.
Thank you so much, man. It's a lot of fun connecting with the community. It's always a good time having some conversation.
Yeah, you talk to a lot of people doing cool things here in Salem and kind of their insight, which is great. But let's move on to my first cool sheet because we've got to hustle today. My first cool sheet is a movement, and this is a movement by Ethiopia, and they are helping fight climate change. They broke a world record. They planted over 350 million trees in one day. So in 12 hours, 353 million trees were planted, breaking the world record that was held by India for 66 million trees. So they crushed the record. It was really an amazing effort. They have a plan to do 4 billion. They want to plant 4 billion trees by the beginning of the rainy season in October, which is quite a goal. But when they already did 353 million, they're on a pretty good head start. I was just really inspired by this movement. There's a lot of climate experts that say, you know, planting trees is kind of as far as cost and ROI. So the return on that cost, it's one of the best things you can do for the environment, especially when it becomes like a big, massive plant session like this, 353 million trees. I just, that number is so mind-boggling to me. You know, I haven't personally planted even one tree before, so I've got some ground to catch up. I love the pictures. I'll share them on our website. The families, you know, so I'm showing Jacob right now, you know, they did this as families came out together. So it was a great teaching moment about not only just planting trees, what it does for the environment, but just that social closeness aspect and kind of set the bar, right? Now India's got to step up. Maybe the United States will step up. We'll see, you know, I love that's the kind of competition and things like that that I love. So definitely check out this movement.
That is amazing. I'm just trying to think of how do you coordinate that many people? Because sometimes it's hard to coordinate 10 people
at
the same place at the same time. But you have it at such a large scale, doing something that's going to help just the rest of humanity is phenomenal. Trees are important. I think that people should take time to recognize like trees are kind of a big deal for us to have. So my first cool sheet is a man that goes by the name of Jesus. I think it's good to talk about because I feel like there's a lot of misinformation shed about what it should mean to be a Christian and what Christianity is. Part of it based off of media, part of it based off of what's happening in the world of Christianity and the perspectives that are being shared. Jesus himself was a very humble person. Like he was born into the world, the Son of God, you know, for those that are believers, like myself. But he was a very humble person. He never took this stance of, you need to do what I'm telling you to do. He never took this stance of believing one set of people was better than another set of people. His entire perspective and how he lived his life was all based off humility. He went around, he was helping people, he was feeding the hungry, he was helping people that were sick. He was never charging for it. He wasn't saying like, hey, I'm doing these great things, you should worship me. It was very much a message of we are all brothers. We are all in this together. And I think that that message gets lost a lot in modern day Christianity. And even the way he was born, right? Being an immigrant, having to try to find a place to be born, being born in the most humble place you could imagine in a manger amongst animals, you know, is how he was brought to life. I think it's just really important to remember the the message. I like to share that message of Christianity really should be, in its purest form, about being humble and the humility that comes with it. And I would recommend for people that are interested to read the Gospels. If you're really curious, like, what does Christianity actually mean, opposed to what I'm hearing about what Christianity means, like, read the Gospels. I think it's a really good introduction just to kind of understand what it is actually all about.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I always wonder what if Jesus was here now, what he would think of how Christianity is being spread, because it's a good thing, but it does get caught up in a lot of other things. So
yeah, I think you see a lot of people kind of using it as a method of gaining power.
Yeah,
and it's hard to see that.
Yeah, because it kind of goes against the whole fundamental of it.
100%.
So yeah, back to the basics. I like that. All right, this is a totally different. My next cool sheet will be because how do you follow up Jesus? Yeah, it's impossible. So my next cool sheet is a Netflix show, and it is called The Chef Show. And this writer, director, and food enthusiast, Jon Favreau, and chef Roy Choi, I can't pronounce his last name because I'm just horrible with these things, but they explore food in and out of the kitchen, and they have a lot of celebrity friends and celebrity chefs that come with them. It's only 8 shows, and they're about 30 minutes each, so it's a really quick binge watch on Netflix. I love it. Of course, Favreau had this relationship with Roy when he made the movie Chef, and he helped him formulate, which is a great movie too. If it hasn't been a cool sheet, it should be. Because it was all about food trucks. I love food trucks. He actually missed his relationship with Roy and his love of cooking because he got busy, making Marvel movies. Not bad. But the show's great. Of course, it has really good food. They make it a lot. It's not where they just – a lot of food shows, they just go to interesting places and see interesting food, which I love those shows as well. Anything food, I'm in. But this, they're actually in a kitchen usually making it, and they kind of go through the steps. The only – thing that I wish they do a little bit more is like actually give you the recipes, because after you watch the show, you're just like, oh my gosh, I want to make this. You got to rewind it, keep watching it. Like, what was that again? Oh, here are the ingredients. They have really fun guest host. Gwyneth Paltrow was on there, and this became like a famous little meme, is she forgot that she was in Spider-Man the movie. And because mostly I think the secrecy of Marvel and how they're just always bringing stars in and not really telling them what it's for. And she actually forgot she was in Spider-Man. That was a great moment. Actually got me to watch the show, and I think a lot of other people. But the show holds up on its own. It has Robert Rodriguez, is also one of my filmmaking heroes in it. Definitely check out The Chef Show.
I would absolutely also endorse that show. That show is actually the first time I actually saw Robert Rodriguez. I had no idea. I've seen all his movies, I believe.
Yeah.
But that's the first time I've ever seen him. I didn't
actually
know what he looked like.
Actually seen him. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, he's one of my heroes for sure. I've met him at Sundance. He's the reason why I kind of went into filmmaking in that that area. He is one of the 3 or 4 people. Jon Favreau is actually another one because of how he made Swingers. And that was a whole independent movement in the early
90s. Absolutely. I think another piece of that show that I like a lot is they talk about how the show came to be during the show. You kind of get different stories throughout the different episodes.
Yeah,
I think
it's not
a lot of
just
fun.
About food. Some of the best parts is just about their life together.
Just creative processes.
You know? So valuable.
My next cool sheet is growth mindset. So anybody passionate about personal development, to me, this is really the foundation. They're teaching in a lot of schools now. So if you have kids, you may have seen them take something home labeled growth mindset or different activities. But really the idea is focusing on our potential and focusing on every opportunity throughout our day as an opportunity to get better. So there's 2 sides of the spectrum. You have fixed mindset, which is really a belief that people are how they are. Things don't change. You either have skills or you don't. And there's growth mindset, which is the belief that we have potential, we can get better. And it impacts how we look at everything. So for example, if you look at taking on a new challenge, if you have a fixed mindset, you may look at that new challenge as an opportunity to fail. I don't want to take on this new challenge. I'm going to look bad because I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it well. People are going to judge me. As opposed to having a growth mindset, where now we're looking at that challenge as an opportunity to get better, where I understand I'm going to fail. This is my first time doing this new thing, but because I'm doing it, I'm going to learn and get better. But also things like hard work. If you have a fixed mindset, there's no point in working hard because you don't believe you can get better anyways. But if you have a growth mindset, you're looking at that opportunity to work hard as an opportunity to get better. So really, I challenge myself throughout my day when I'm deciding different paths to take or how I want to schedule my time. Or even like things like getting feedback from people, right? Am I getting defensive, or I have a fixed mindset and I don't look for the opportunity to get better, or am I looking at as an opportunity to get better where I want to receive feedback, and I'm actually proactively asking people to provide feedback so I have an opportunity to get better at my skills. And there's a spectrum too. It's not one or the other. Like, we're always going to fit in different spectrums. So it's not about 100% growth mindset or 100% fixed mindset. It's just different times of the day, different circumstances. We might fit in different areas of that spectrum. But I think it's important for us to be aware of where do we fit in if we want to get better.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad you brought this up. And I can tell we've known each other just for a little while now, really. But I can tell you live and breathe that growth mindset. And it's one of the things that immediately I was like, oh, man, I like this guy.
Thank you so much.
So, because a lot of people can talk about it, but don't actually do it. And I know I don't do it well enough. All right, so my next cool sheet is a podcast, and this is called Quentin Tarantino's Feature Presentation, so kind of following the movie theme for some reason here, but it's a really quick three-part series. Each episode is only 30 to 40 minutes long, and it features Amy Nicholson and Quentin Tarantino, and it's by The Ringer, which I think I've talked about once or twice already on Cool Sheets, but this is a very specific little three-part series. She picks five movies that he's shown in the New Beverly, which is the theater he owns down in L.A., and she picks these five movies, what she feels like kind of defines his career so far, which I thought was an interesting concept as a jumping off point. The first one's young Quentin goes to the movies. Then number two is Quentin tunes in, drops out, and then Quentin, you're going to be a director soon, which is a playoff on Pulp Fiction, of course, one of the songs.
Yep.
It's just really cool. His passion is bar none. Like, he has a lot of people have passion for movies. This guy tops them all. He talks super fast. I'm kind of emulating it right now because I only have 2 minutes to describe all these things, but it's constant with him. And I have met him in real life at Sundance once or twice, which was also a weird experience because I admired him again since the 90s. He was one of my influences, Robert Rodriguez, Jon Favreau, and Quentin, who I'm talking about all today, which is funny. I just left out Kevin Smith, poor guy. Those are the four. And so it was one of those, like, don't meet your hero moments, though, because
yeah.
He was different in okay. real life. Not quite. I don't know what I expected when you have those kind of expectations and you – not that I put people on a pedestal, but meeting them in real life was just different. But now I've reconciled and come full circle with them. But definitely worth checking out this podcast.
Shoot.
There you go.
I think it's always interesting with artists. We're like, their art, we appreciate it because how different it is.
Yeah.
But then you meet them, it's like, can you be kind of normal just for a little bit in this conversation?
Yeah, he's 100% that way all the time.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's, it is, no, it's not an act. It's not a something he turns on,
yeah.
Which could be too much
right.
for some people. But I think it's great. And I've kind of, like I said, come full circle. And I really dig his work for sure. It's influenced not just me, but kind of everybody, you know,
yeah.
pop culture in general.
Yeah. So my next cool sheet is Hoopla, which is a 3-on-3 basketball tournament we have right here in Salem, Oregon. It is the second biggest 3-on-3 tournament in the nation. The first biggest is in Spokane, but we actually have the second biggest in Salem, which is incredible. But I think it's worth calling out, especially because of the kind of the culture we live in, where a lot of the interaction is very impersonal. It's about likes on social media. It's about quick comments. But it's amazing to have an opportunity for this community of people who have grown up playing basketball together. They might have been coached by somebody. Maybe you played on the same team or you played against somebody in high school or in college or whatever it may be. But you have this event every year that kind of brings everybody together that's in the community. And it's special. And it's just amazing the amount of moving pieces that go into creating this sort of event. And I think that if you're a participant, sometimes it's really easy to look at the things that don't go perfectly. Like, this ref didn't make the right call on this game. And it kind of, you lose perspective and context of what's actually happening. Where you have this great event for the community, for people to come together. It's awesome to win. You know, it does feel good. It's more, some people are more competitive than others. But at the same time, like, that Hoopla medal, it's, you know, maybe you're probably going to lose it. You know what I mean? Like, getting first to Hoopla isn't the biggest thing in the world in context. It's a lot of fun to win. Nobody likes losing. But at the same time, I think it's important that we don't lose perspective of how valuable it is to have something like this that brings people together. and really giving credit where it's due for the organizers, the people that are volunteering time. I know that you curate a lot of events yourself, Brian, so you have some perspective into this world also. It's a lot of work, and it's a thankless work in a lot of ways, but just kudos to the entire staff and all the volunteers at Hoopla for putting such an incredible event together. I know Dutch Bros and has sponsored the last couple of years, which I think is really cool to have somebody that's from Oregon be a participant, but just a ton of fun.
Yeah, gosh, the Hoopla. And it's been really fun when you've lived in Salem, watching that event grow to what it has become now. Because I remember when it first started, since I've been here my entire life, and I was like, I always thought it was cool. I was like, wow, this is really neat.
Yeah.
But to see how massive it is now, and number two in the nation, is pretty staggering.
It's
crazy that Spokane and Oregon,
right?
Yeah, that's really cool. Because you would think, oh, maybe
Seattle,
it'd be, you know,
New York,
LA even, something like that. But no, that's really cool.
It's kind of cool. This is my first year where my son is now playing.
Oh,
so now we have the
great
second generation of Hoopla where it's been open long enough. You start to see some of that happening.
That's so
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, that is amazing. Moving on to my next cool sheet, which is a human. Talk about motivation and hustle. Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm not sure why I haven't talked about this guy before. He is, if you one word to describe, I think unanimously everyone would say hustle. He's all about working super hard. And he was a really good, maybe 8 to 10 years ago when I first heard about him, was about the same time I started listening and following Tim Ferriss. And it was such a good yin and yang, because on the outside, it's like there was the 4-hour work week and then there was like the 24/7 work week. And I loved the and they seemed like they were polar opposites, but they're really actually more similar than they are different. Because when you get behind it, of course, Gary doesn't work. I mean, he works hard, way harder than most. And he always motivates you to work harder. But he has a family. He has a life. And that's very important to him. And just like Tim Ferriss, he doesn't actually only work 4 hours a week. He works more than that. But it was kind of that mindset. He shifts it into you're doing things you like, you're doing other things, and again, not working, though, 80 hours like he used to. So I love the combo of both of them. But, you know, he started out, he joined his family wine business at the age of 14. It went from $3 million a year to $60 million a year in just less than a 10-year span, which is amazing because he took the online sales. He started doing daily vlogs. He was one of the first people, I think, to kind of do daily vlogs all the time and ask questions, and he was super open. Then he became like a social media guru and speaker, and he's still relevant today. He's always on Instagram or any other, YouTube, Facebook, everything, giving you super valuable free content. He's wrote like 6 books that I can't even get to because my time's up, but definitely check out Gary V. Vaynerchuk.
And I think what I love the most and appreciate the most about him is that he really calls out the fact that these glamorous, do nothing for money lifestyles don't exist. It's fake.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to make something incredible happen, like, you have to put in a lot of work. It's not just going to be the work that you like either. It's not going to be just when you want to go to work. Like, it has to be consistent. So I really do appreciate the fact that he's like, dream big, but also be aware that you're going to have to get your hands dirty and like do the little things every single day.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
So my next cool sheet, I want to talk about battle rap. I am a huge hip hop fan. And I think battle rap is one of the more underappreciated, potentially, elements of hip-hop and just pieces of the culture. And it's really one of the foundational pieces as well. If you go back into the early 80s, you have a lot of the new, or when hip-hop was brand new, a lot of it were lyricists that were just kind of on stage going up against each other. And a lot of it was not as intricate as it is now, but really, who could throw the best party? Who could get the crowd the livest? Who could create the most energy and excitement? And then it kind of transitioned where you start looking into more lyrical content where people are putting more intricate words rhyming together. And it all really started in New York. They kind of started this culture. And then in the 90s, you start seeing this movement into the West Coast where you have a lot of the like white kids with backpacks on that kind of start doing their own thing. And it's a lot of it is about having multi-syllable rhymes at the end of their words, where previously it was like a line you'd have, and then there would be a punchline. Only the last syllable would rhyme together. But then people started changing the format a little bit, where you had multiple lines that rapped together. Nomaculate is a rapper out of Portland who kind of was one of the founders of this. And so he had a line where he's like, As you shaved your face with the razor blade, you look like an overweight Macy Gray, where it's kind of like all these different syllables are rhyming together. And the thought is that people were just coming up with this on the spot. Like, you put a beat on, you'd see somebody, you kind of figure out, how do I make this person feel terrible about themselves in the shortest amount of time possible? And now it's kind of taken a new life where people are writing like 10-minute verses for each other, which is just kind of an interesting thing to think about, like signing up for. I'm putting myself in the ring where somebody is going to try to like pick me apart every single flaw that I have. How do I prepare myself mentally to come back to that? So 2 minutes, just kind of a brief overview of battle rap, but it's really interesting stuff. It's a lot of fun, and some of the word plays these guys come up with are just brilliant.
Yeah, that's great. Time's running out, but that's another thing I think is a little bit misunderstood as well. So thank you for that. It's really cool.
It's a rabbit hole. If I watch one battle rap, I end up watching like five more, so I have to be really careful.
I bet that could happen, yeah.
And then now, like a lot of the battle raps, you have to have watched like 10 other battles to like, have context to this new one that they're watching.
Oh, sure.
So. Yep. That's interesting.
Yeah, very cool. All right, my last cool sheet is a local business, and this is Azul's Tacos. So this is a new brick-and-mortar restaurant. Now, these two guys did start out with taco trucks. So JT's Food Trucks, actually Big Blue was their original truck 4 years ago. And these two guys, Tino Land and Augustine J. Razzo Jr., now they have like a whole salou too. They have a JT's Taqueria and Black Rock Barbacoa. And they're also the cooks behind Victory's Club's Legendary Tacos on Taco Tuesday.
Okay.
So these guys have, I was surprised once I started digging around how many different things they've done. All I knew about was JT's food truck and now their new place. But I do want to talk about the brick and mortar. First of all, again, I love food trucks and I love the story of when food trucks then become a restaurant. That's the beauty of food trucks, is how they allow people to experiment, hone their craft, do it in an affordable way. And people that sometimes could never just go get a restaurant right off the bat, they can build this little mini, you know, food truck empire and then become a successful brick and mortar. But they are really good. Their tacos are amazing. I think they have over 20 different kinds. They have indoor and outdoor seating. They have homemade horchata. What is it, like agua fresca drinks, I think. But they have, so they have all kinds of combinations for all kinds of different people and flavors. So if you like authentic street tacos, or if you are a vegetarian or a pescatarian, they got you covered. Of course, they got all the meat lovers. They got carne asada. And then they get in these really, they do the fusion. They do Korean tacos and bulgogi and things like that.
Oh, man.
Just a little bit of everything. Definitely worth checking out. They're on Edgewater, Azul's Tacos.
It is almost lunchtime, and so I'm pretty sure I know what's happening for lunch today.
Yeah, no kidding. That's it's a quick little stop.
Yeah, my last cool sheet is negative visualization. An interesting topic, and it's been hugely impactful on my life. I'm really known as a positive person, someone who has an optimistic perspective, and negative visualization is a practice that is consistent with me. And really the idea with negative visualization is taking time to think about what your life would be like without the things that you are most grateful for. A lot of our time right now is spent, if you think of social media, looking for the things that we don't have. Why don't I have this? What do I need to do to obtain this? Why does this person have this, but I don't? Which is just a terrible way to look at the world. Because in reality, there always are things that we have that we can be grateful for. Things can always be worse, is really an overlying thing of negative visualization. And so it might seem unproductive to take time to think about, what would it be like if I didn't have my house? What would it be like if my car broke down and I didn't have money to replace it? What would it be like if somebody hacked my bank account or something terrible happened to my family? That's probably not a great feeling, right? But when you get yourself out of it and you remember, I still have these things, you just become so much more grateful for every moment that you get. It's like with my kids, like, what if I didn't have my kids? Like, what would my life be like? Because I take the time to do that, when I'm with my kids, I'm much more grateful and much more intentional to really value that time and make sure I'm getting the most out of those moments where I'm not as distracted. And so for me, just really taking time to think about the things I have to be grateful for, like having health, being able to walk, things like that. It just really helps me stay positive and optimistic throughout each of my days and really just appreciate, you know, the moments that I have, because things could always be worse, but I'm grateful that they're not.
That's cool. That's another one of those things that sounds one way but shifts your perspective on it. So I love that.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Well, thanks. We're out of time here, but thank you so much again for being here.
Yes,
I really appreciate it. You did a great job. So.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.